This is Brother Michael Diamond with you, and Brother Peter is also here to talk about Padre Pio and some of the different articles that are out there saying that he either believed non-Catholics could be saved, or he endorsed Vatican II, or he fully endorsed Humanae Vitae and everything that was in it. And so we want to cover those issues.
And so basically you have two camps of people. You have the people in the Novus Ordo, and in particular one guy who wrote a book about Padre Pio, who tries to argue that Padre Pio believed in salvation outside the Church, and we will be addressing his arguments. And then there's another camp, even though it's small, of radical schismatics who argue that Padre Pio endorsed the heresies of Vatican II and was in full agreement with Paul VI's Humanae Vitae, which taught natural family planning, because he wrote supposedly a letter to Paul VI on September 12, 1968, which contains basically a flowery endorsement of Vatican II and Humanae Vitae. And so I guess we'll start out by responding to the first angle to this issue, and then get back to this other individual who wrote the book and brought up some stories which he says prove that Padre Pio believed in salvation outside the Church.
And now, as far as him endorsing Humanae Vitae, what people need to know is that what probably happened here is that Padre Pio was told that an encyclical was just written, you know, at the end of July by Paul VI, 1968, in which he condemned contraception. And so that was told probably to Padre Pio, and so he was, you know, happy about that, and so therefore sent this, directed a letter to be sent off according to these people. But what's interesting is the letter that they quote, that they say was from Padre Pio, was not actually typed by Padre Pio, and you can find this from many different sources, and I believe I did also see it in the official Padre Pio magazine. It's also in the book Padre Pio by Father John Shug. On page 144, it quotes this letter that they say was written by Padre Pio to Paul VI, and it said that that Padre Pio didn't type the letter, that it was typed by another person for Padre Pio, because his hands were unable to write a long letter. What's also interesting is that it's dated September 12, 1968, and Padre Pio died on September 23, 1968. In addition to all of this, I don't know if anyone, even at the monastery there, read the encyclical itself. We're talking about 1968, about less than 2 months after the encyclical was signed by Paul VI, and so therefore things didn't move. You didn't have the internet or things being printed and sent everywhere as they are now, and so therefore they may not. No one at the monastery may have read the encyclical. They probably were just told Paul VI condemned contraception. But when you start to look at the encyclical itself, in addition to that, there are things in it, obviously, that Padre Pio would never endorse, such as point 16 of Humanae Vitae, where it says, quote, "It cannot be denied that in each case the married couple, for acceptable reasons, are both perfectly clear in their intention to avoid children and wish to make sure that none will result." So that means that a person, if they follow Humanae Vitae in this encyclical, if they believe it's an infallible statement, which obviously it wasn't because Paul VI was an anti-pope, that they could decide to have zero children. And that's obviously, everyone knows that Padre Pio did not promote contraception. Obviously, he condemned it, and he promoted large families.
And right off the bat, the whole argument that Padre Pio was responsible for this letter, it's on shaky ground immediately. That's before you even get into the details, because Padre Pio died on September 23rd, 1968. This letter is dated September 12, 1968. And it's a fact that Padre Pio's health was failing. His sight was very weak at the end of his life. And so the notion that he immediately read this encyclical, which had they even received a copy, which it was just published on July 25th of 1968, that he read it and dictated or pumped out this flowery letter, okay, about it is really, it's not very plausible to begin with. And then you get into the facts that he covered, that they're admitting that he didn't even type the letter. So what happened was, you had a friar basically say, we're going to send a letter to Paul VI, praising him for Humanae Vitae, because what the public basically reported about Humanae Vitae is that it condemned artificial contraception. That's what everyone basically was told about the encyclical, which is true, that it did condemn artificial contraception, and for that reason, that angle of it was true. It's only if you actually get into the encyclical and look at it carefully that you'll discover that it teaches NFP. So they're probably just going by the reports that it condemned artificial contraception, and a brother says, this is great, we're going to send a letter to Paul VI about it, I'll type one out. And so the idea that he dictated the words, it's ridiculous.
And in fact, even Father Shug mentions here, which is interesting, he says, when he mentioned someone else typed the letter for Padre Pio, he says, his own hands were unable to write a long letter, but there's no question that the ideas were Padre Pio's. So, he couldn't do it. So,
so that quote fits like a glove with what we're saying, that it's very unlikely that he would have done it, and he's confirming that he didn't do it.
And so it just goes to show you that a person at that point in time, if they're told, oh, in their opinion, the Pope has condemned contraception or artificial contraception, and someone's never read the encyclical and had no idea what was contained in there, that they could sort of be happy about that and you know, direct someone to say, oh, that's a good thing that the Pope, in his opinion at that time, he believed he was Pope, wrote something condemning that activity.
And going in line with this topic is the issue of people say, well, what about the fact that he died in 68? He died recognizing Paul VI, and this letter says that Vatican II was good. It praises, quote, the lofty teachings of Vatican II. And a similar concept would apply to what we were just saying about Humanae Vitae, that Vatican II ended in 1965. And so Padre Pio, it's very unlikely that he actually studied the documents. He was still hearing many confessions in the 60s. He was a man primarily of prayer. He's saying his Mass. Okay, furthermore, people have this impression that the documents of Vatican II are entitled, we reject the Council of Trent, or we deny Catholic teaching on church unity. That's simply not the case. The documents of Vatican II, you have to actually get into them and read them carefully to see the heresies in them. It's easy once you see, for instance, our material, because we've exposed exactly where these heresies are. But for people who have just heard about the Council, unless you've actually studied it carefully, it's not like it's going to appear as notoriously heretical right off the bat. So this notion that he heard of Vatican II and didn't denounce it, therefore he's a heretic, it's ridiculous. And in fact, like the Decree on Religious Liberty, it says at the beginning that, you know, this is perfectly in line with Catholic tradition. And so it's only if you actually get into the document and think about it and study it that you would see the manifest heresy against Catholic teaching on religious liberty.
And just quickly going back to the issue of Humanae Vitae too, like this is just one book that I opened up to. It said the sins that upset Padre Pio the most were sins against motherhood, the limitation of families. So it's you know, you can see that kind of thing.
And so it's necessary for some of these wacky radical schismatics to say that Padre Pio was a heretic because their whole theology is corrupted. And if Padre Pio could have been a Catholic, which he was, because a person can be wrong or unaware of something that's transpiring, or, you know, he could not have heard maybe that, you know, the man who claims to be the Pope is uttering a heresy. That concept is basically repugnant to their theology, because if Padre Pio was a Catholic, well, then that means his church was a Catholic church, even though it recognized Paul VI. And therefore, not everyone who recognizes the Vatican II antipopes is ipso facto an apostate. He has to see what's going on and agree with it, or if he's basically imbibed the Vatican II religious indifferentism, he's definitely a heretic.
And or if they, obviously, today it's a different time because people know about the heresies, and so therefore, if you're at a certain age and you don't condemn them as heretics, once obviously you have the ability to know what's going on and don't do so, don't condemn these guys as heretics, obviously you would be guilty as well.
And I think it's an interesting example of how these, some of these schismatics, they lose all perspective to step back and assess a situation like, oh, well, he wrote this letter. Well, no, actually, if you think about it more and you examine the facts, no, it doesn't actually appear, okay, the way that you think it appears initially.
And so we had, there are actually two different guys named Frank that have, one wrote a book on Padre Pio, and the other one is saying that Padre Pio is a heretic because, you know, he accepted Vatican II in his opinion and accepted these anti-popes. But the Frank that wrote the book on Padre Pio wrote an article where he's trying to claim that that Padre Pio did in fact believe in salvation outside the church for non-Catholics and so forth. And he condemns the book that I wrote on Padre Pio, that obviously a lot of people have seen that book that are listening to this program. But anyway, what he says is he calls me, quote, brother Michael Diamond of the non-canonical Most Holy Family Monastery in Fillmore, New York. And then he calls Brother Peter, quote, Brother Peter. What's interesting is that he just recently contacted us, and he said he wanted to speak to Brother Michael, to the person who answered the phone. So he calls me, quote, Brother Michael in the article, but he doesn't stand by that when it comes to contacting us. He calls me Brother Michael because he wanted to see if we'd be interested in selling one of his books.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, which is, you know, really interesting. And in fact, I went through his book on Padre Pio, and I'd have to say that it's one of the worst books written about Padre Pio that I've ever seen, primarily because of how boring it is. And I would just say that for someone to write a book on Padre Pio or even some other topic, to not make it interesting and put out a lot of effort to do that is really, it gets to be a waste of a person's time. And so it's really something that this guy's attacking the book that I wrote on Padre Pio.
But the heresies that this individual, the heresies he's promoting are just astounding, because he quotes only three instances, and his argument that Padre Pio believed in salvation outside the church, it's superficially persuasive to people who are inclined to heresy or who don't look at it carefully. For instance, like, he cites three examples which he thinks prove that Padre Pio believes in salvation outside the church, but when you actually look at those examples and think about them, you can see that the argument is overall pathetic. And that's what we're going to do. Look at some of these examples. The first example he gives, which he says proves that Padre Pio believes in salvation outside the church, concerns Adelaide McAlpin Pyle, the mother of Mary Pyle, who was a convert and a friend of Padre Pio. And he quotes certain things which he claims Padre Pio said to this Adelaide Pyle, who was a Protestant. Okay, her daughter converted, but the mother was a Protestant. And she claims that Padre Pio told her that, let's not confuse her, that Padre Pio counseled Mary to not confuse her mother. She will be saved because she has faith.
So there's some translations that say she has the faith.
Yeah, and so according to this guy, and rather the book he's quoting, Padre Pio actually told Mary Pyle not to try to bring the faith to her mother. That, first of all, what does this tell you about this guy, Frank? Tells you that he's a complete apostate, because anyone who would think that and think that that's Catholic, to not, that you should withhold the faith from someone lest you confuse them. Okay, but this guy Frank is so devoid of the grace of faith, that he'll just adopt this apostasy because he thinks Padre Pio did. That shows you that he worships Padre Pio, and he has not a whiff of faith in Jesus Christ. But what's interesting about all these things he attributes with regard to this pile situation is they all come from one author. Okay, Bernadette Massa. That is very weak. Okay, basically what you have is almost certainly just a liberal, you know, using her own ideas of what happened here. And it's not like you have this from many sources. You have this anecdotal evidence from one person, all these different quotes, where Padre Pio is supposedly indicating that this Protestant, okay, can be saved. And so it's not strong evidence at all.
And see, the thing about it is that obviously there's one faith, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, Ephesians 4:5. So he's saying she has the faith. Well, there's only one faith. To have a Protestant, quote, faith is to have no faith. It's not to have the faith. And so if he's saying she has the faith, then maybe what he's talking about is that she basically really believes in Catholicism. In fact, much information has been brought out that she wanted to make a confession to Padre Pio. In fact, this guy Frank even quotes that, how she wanted to make a confession to Padre Pio, but because of the language problem, her inability to speak Italian made this impossible, and Padre Pio heard this, and he was upset a little bit, and he said, she should have tried to do it anyway. As for the language, I would have taken care of that. Does a person that wants to make a confession, does that sound like a person that's a Protestant? No. It sounds like a person that believes in the sacrament of confession. Obviously, usually a person that would claim to be Catholic, not a Protestant. She's saying that she wanted to make a confession. She was also supplying her daughter with a fair bit of money for her activity or charitable activity of helping people, and with Padre Pio. So the point is that
maybe, contrary to reports, she did convert.
Yeah,
we don't know for sure, but they quote her supposedly saying this: "Who told you that your mother could not be saved?" So this is what this guy Frank, and he quotes this same author. Supposedly, Padre Pio told Mary Pyle, "Who told you that your mother could not be saved?" As if he's defiantly saying that, as it, you know, there's no way that you could say that a Protestant couldn't be saved. I mean, it's so ridiculous. He's throwing people out of the confession for withholding sins.
Well, and also one thing is that he's not saying that, she died without the faith, but she's saved. She who told you that she couldn't be saved as a non-Catholic? He's not saying that. He's just saying, who said that your mom couldn't be saved? She could have made a profession of faith. She could have converted. And so therefore, and he says, well, why didn't, you know, he get into that kind of stuff? It's really a moot point. The point is that she's ready to make a confession, and she's supplying her daughter with all this thing for the activities there. And so it's obvious that she at least believed in many Catholic things and probably converted and accepted the faith before she died. And that's why he said, you know, what he did about that. If indeed that quote is an accurate quote.
Which is highly questionable. But some of these other things, though, are clearly ridiculous. That let's not confuse her. Don't upset her peace. Okay? As if Padre Pio advised Mary not to tell her mother to convert.
Now, the next thing is that this other person that Padre Pio asked some people to say a prayer for King George V of England, who was a baptized Protestant, and at some point he told some other people around him, he was talking to them, quote, "Let us pray for a soul soon to appear before the tribunal of God." Okay, and so this guy Frank is saying that this is proof again that Padre Pio believed that non-Catholics could be saved, because why would he be praying for this guy who's a non-Catholic? Well, quite simply, because he's about to appear before the tribunal of God. The key word is about. And so therefore we pray for people before they die so that they might convert. So this doesn't prove his point either.
It's an absurd implication that just because he's praying for the person, that he therefore believes that a baptized Protestant can be saved as a baptized Protestant. It's ridiculous. And that's really how simple the answer to that particular issue is.
And then
is.
We have the final example, so-called example, that he gives is this Julius Fine, who is an unbaptized, quote, devout Jew, Frank calls him. And they say, Padre Pio is saying, quote, Julius Fine is saved. Now, what's interesting is that that is reported by his daughter, who's a Jew.
Yeah, the only source we have on this is an unconverted Jew happens to be this guy's daughter. Okay, so that, right off the bat, is almost completely proves that this is a false statement. She's going to, of course, want to convince herself that her father is saved without being baptized, without being a Catholic. And Padre Pio was such a well-known person. He was one of the most famous people in the whole world. He was the most photographed man in the whole world. Many people heard about the miracles that were worked, and so you had bad-willed people of all kinds of persuasions wanting to claim Padre Pio for this or for that, and wanting to try to convince themselves that Padre Pio was justifying them or their family members where they were. And so these people make up all kinds of lies all the time. Okay, and it's just that's just a well-documented fact. So the fact that some Jewish woman claims that Padre Pio assured her that her dad, who was unbaptized, went to heaven, I mean, that's proof that there's salvation outside the church and that Padre Pio believed in it. I mean, it's so ridiculous. And this, in sum, is the evidence he quotes. This ridiculous testimony, King George.
And so he's fine. He's fine as a Jew rejecting Jesus Christ. That's what Padre Pio believes, according to Frank.
But think about the apostasy of this Frank, that he's willing to embrace this outrageous heresy just because he thinks Padre Pio, he wrongly thinks Padre Pio did. That just shows you what an unbeliever he is.
And then when you look at, you know, Padre Pio's life, he's kicking people out of the confessional and talking about what a fearful thing it is to sit in the tribunal of the confessional. We're administering the blood of Christ. We must be careful that we do not fling it about by being too easy or negligent. And he kicking out all kinds of people because they didn't have a firm purpose of amendment, telling this guy that delved into occultism and was at the same time going to Catholic churches and receiving communion, telling him that all his communions were sacrilegious, that you're believing in heresy, basically all the penance really he should do, and Freemasons that he's kicking out, telling people that are communists that go away, and that telling people that you're going to go to hell if you continue in your way, not giving absolution to numerous people, telling people to get out, as I was saying, of the confession, and on and on and on. So you see this kind of activity over and over again, the really people would call the severity of Padre Pio on people who, in fact, in one of the most famous cases, which is on the back of the book, a guy who went to Padre Pio and made a confession, and he told him that there's something you forgot, and it was a mortal sin he committed since 1941. And he then remembered about the sin, and then he confessed it, and he told him that you've been carrying this sin around since 1941. And so all these things, mortal sin, firm purpose of amendment, goodwill, modesty, he wouldn't admit people if their dresses weren't a certain length, obviously, as I cover, into the confession. All these things are meaningless if you believe that people don't even have to embrace the Catholic faith at all or believe in Jesus Christ.
And an important point is that there are many, many letters which he wrote, which were published, letters he wrote in the 30s, the 40s, etc., And there's not a hint of any of this kind of heresy in any of his letters. On the contrary, you see assertions that you have to have the Catholic faith. And so if he really believed this, you would see this somewhere, okay, rather than this ridiculous anecdotal evidence. And the other point is that there are all kinds of false statements, documented false statements that were attributed to Padre Pio, which have and now been debunked. Such as he...
And right before that, right before we go to that point, that's an important point, but I just want to go back to that last point, is that people who knew Padre Pio, this is this Monsignor George Pagani, he said that, quote, Padre Pio insists the Catholic faith was the only true religion founded by Jesus Christ. He accepted everyone as a man, but he's convinced that the other religions are just founded by different men, Luther, Calvin, Zwingli. It's basically what he said. And then a number of other quotes where he talks about Padre Pio. Someone asked him what he had to do to save his soul, a blind man. And he said, it is enough for you if you keep the commandments of God and of the church. And so you see all this, these statements from Padre Pio where he's saying that it's necessary to do certain things to be saved.
Like one Jewish guy who approached him.
Yeah, and one blind Jewish man who approached him and wanted to be cured of his blindness. And Padre Pio told him that the Lord will not grant you sight, physical sight, until you get sight for your soul. You need to be baptized. And so the person, despite the opposition from his family, he got baptized, and he wasn't immediately cured of his blindness, and it persisted, the blindness, for several months, and there was a point of a little bit of frustration, but he continued to persevere in the faith, and then sure enough, he did, the healing did happen, and had the miracle of being able to see, and he could see, he saw for the rest of his life. So that's another point that those who would say, well, no, people are fine, you know, as Jews rejecting Jesus Christ, and he's telling people that no, you need to be baptized, you need to do these things to be saved.
And he told another guy, what a pity, he's a Jew, when he was asked about a Jew.
A doctor, a Jewish doctor, yes.
And so it's totally inconsistent with the most trustworthy source of what we know about what he believed, his published letters. And this is very weak evidence right off the bat. That's before you get into some of the problems we mentioned. I mean, because it's only three quoted instances.
And also, one of the other things is he's saying we're going to bring out is just some of the stories, all the different stories that people say, oh, Padre Pio said this, he said that, he said the other thing. Like, first of all, this is a quote from one book, for example, where they quote someone as asking Padre Pio, can you tell us how John F. Kennedy appeared before God? Quote, he appeared before God as a good Christian, said Padre Pio, and the other appeared before God as his assassin. Well, we know that from the JFK assassination that it wasn't just one guy.
Yeah, I mean, if you look into the issue, it's absolutely ridiculous to assert that it was one guy. And so, I mean, that's just another thing to consider. Also, people claim that Padre Pio told John Paul II, you would be Pope. But that's been thoroughly debunked.
As even experts on Padre Pio say, there's really, when they really investigated it, they found there wasn't really any evidence to support
it. Didn't John Paul II himself admit?
And John Paul II himself admitted this when someone asked him many years ago, they asked him, did he ever say that you would become Pope? No, he didn't. In fact, the first time John Paul II, when he went to visit Padre Pio, I believe it was 1947, he tried to go to confession of Padre Pio, and he was thrown out of the confessional by Padre Pio.
But yet this idea that he told John Paul II you'd be Pope is circulated in many publications.
Yeah. Also, there was a book, I remember, this is about 20 years ago, 21 years ago, I think, that someone gave me a book and said, look at this, Padre Pio condemned Archbishop Lefebvre. And it had in this book on Padre Pio the quote, supposedly, that Padre Pio said to Archbishop Lefebvre when they met in 1968. I believe it was in March of 1968. Lefebvre happened to quickly meet Padre Pio. And they quoted Padre Pio saying to Lefebvre, "I know what you will do. You think you'll be right, but you will be wrong." And so, and the guy said to me, "See, he condemned the whole traditionalist movement." And he thought it was really strong evidence. But guess what? Padre Pio never said that to Lefebvre. It's just a flat out lie. But yet it was published as true and published in a book on Padre Pio.
And we've had a lot of experience dealing with people, and we've been, frankly, shocked at how dishonest so many so-called Catholics are, that they will embellish things, they will lie, they will distort. And so it's very plausible that with someone as popular as Padre Pio was, whose miracles were so well documented, as I said, was the most photographed man in the world at his time, that you would have all kinds of people wanting to claim this or that for, you know, their fancy and their cause, to make themselves look more important or people they know, or convince themselves of certain things. So you have some ridiculous things thrown out there.
And one other thing, there's a whole thing people are publishing, Padre Pio and the 3 Days of Darkness. This whole thing, people have spent a lot of time and certain amount of money printing up these pamphlets and his statements and his letter about the coming 3 Days of Darkness. Well, guess what? He never spoke about the 3 Days of Darkness. None of it's true. Here's another book. This is one of the biggest books that has ever been published on Padre Pio, Padre Pio, The True Story, C. Bernard Ruffin, page 363. And this just proves to you again how many stories are out there of, oh, Padre Pio talked about this, he talked about that. And he says here that Padre Pio loved Franklin Roosevelt. And years before, when an American badmouthed the man in the White House, Pio had said, quote, "Don't talk that way. Roosevelt is a great man. If it weren't for him, we wouldn't be coming out of this thing, World War II. He expressed high regard for Harry Truman. So, now, speaking about both of them, they're both open Freemasons. Truman said that it was the greatest honor he had ever received in his life to be the Grand Master of his lodge, even above becoming president, he said. And FDR was definitely a Freemason. And he's saying that Roosevelt is a non-Catholic, a Freemason, is a great man, and that we wouldn't be coming out of this thing World War II. When you look at the historical evidence, he's the one that brought us into World War II. And expressing high regard for Harry Truman, who is a 33rd degree Freemason. This is nonsense.
I think Padre Pio said something. They immediately think it's acceptable, no matter how much it opposes all of Catholic teaching, common sense, etc. It's really awful.
And contrary to what a lot of people believe, that Padre Pio didn't know everything. There are things that he didn't know. He only knew what the Lord allowed him to know. And that's why, and there's a little section in the book about some of the things that he didn't know. As far as like when they asked him about some guy who was missing during a war, was he saved or was he lost? Did he die? And Padre Pio said, concerning Father Lucy of happy memory, I know nothing, but my mind tells me he must not be sought among the living. But it turned out that the guy, he turned up alive, and then he rebuked his nephew because he thought he dropped out of college, and there was actually a letter that his nephew had that explained why he had been able to leave college, but Padre Pio didn't know that. I mean, there are other things. There's also an expensive stone that was given to Padre Pio that he put in the care of another person, and he tried to sell it, or there's some kind of scandal where he tried to sell it on the side and make some money on the side, and everyone was surprised, and they said, how come Padre Pio didn't know when he was given this really expensive stone item, why did he ever put it in the hands of this guy who tried to do this bad thing with it? And someone else said, well, I think that maybe he only knows what the Lord allows him to know. Well, that's right. These people love to just follow whatever these guys say, or almost worship them.
And it really goes without saying that he didn't know everything. Of course, he was just a man. But because there's such a proclivity to worship people who may have been blessed by God with certain gifts, you really have to emphasize the point. It's really pathetic. But they think that Padre Pio, because he was given some extraordinary gifts by God, that he therefore is a sure, has perfect knowledge of everything that is going on at all times. It's really ridiculous. Another point that I wanted to make, which really sort of goes back to these radical schismatics who think that Padre Pio was a heretic, well, there are many, many, many well-documented, undeniable miracles attributed to Padre Pio. And so if Padre Pio was a heretic, as they claim, right off the bat, it's extremely implausible, because what you'd have to say is he's one of the greatest false prophets in all of history. That basically God allowed this person to work all these miracles, well-documented miracles, and he was actually a deceiver and a heretic to keep people in the Vatican II Church. It's really, really ridiculous, because and if you look at the fruits of what he led people to, he led them to a greater devotion to the rosary, the traditional sacraments. He represented the traditional Mass.
He was bringing all kinds of people back to the Catholic faith, converting Freemasons, converting communists, bringing people back to the faith, getting people to confess their mortal sins for the first time honestly, getting people to receive the sacraments, getting them to do penance.
And he died before the new Mass was even promulgated. And what's very interesting is that is extremely unlikely that he was a false prophet right off the bat. But what is very plausible is that right before this awful punishment of the Vatican II apostasy, which God has allowed, this horrible punishment where the so-called authorities would be in charge of instituting a new religion, okay, and would take over the churches, that God would give a special grace to the world by allowing a priest, okay, to have unusual gifts and miracles, which would basically be a testament to the traditional faith, and would be a great source of basically direction for the world in terms of pointing them to the power of the Catholic faith right before the worst of the apostasy broke. And so it makes sense that, like, because his gifts were extraordinary. I mean, he basically had the gifts of the greatest of all the saints in Catholic history. And so he either was one of the greatest false prophets in history, according to these people, or one of the greatest saints in history. Which is more likely? Of course, right off the bat, it would be that he's one of the greatest saints.
And as far as the Vatican II, like, there is a statement out there that apparently he made that he said, quote, for pity's sake, stop the council right now, that he was really upset because I guess he knew apparently that they were changing things or about to change some things or heard something about that. And he made statements that when he heard about the new things that were coming out, he said, thank God I'm old and near death. And there's another statement that he made that in the hour of darkness, let us pray for the elect. Something like that, a statement like that, that's very interesting, that he sort of knew that we're in these last days, that things were getting dark. Oh, Jesus, save the elect in the hour of darkness. And as he was pointing out, he didn't say the new Mass. He died, Padre Pio, September 23rd, 1968. The new Mass came out April 3rd, 1969. This guy, going back to Frank, who wrote the book on Padre Pio, he quotes, which I have in the book, the quote I have from Padre Pio, quote, he, Jesus, sees the sacrileges with which the priests and faithful defile themselves, not caring about those sacraments instituted for our salvation as necessary means for it, instead now made an occasion of sin and damnation of souls. So here's Padre Pio saying that the sacraments are necessary for salvation. And he says, after that, he says that Padre Pio, talking about this story where he thinks that Padre Pio is giving the impression that someone could be saved outside the church, quote, Padre Pio believed that this particular person who died outside the church could be saved. Well, that's word for word the opposite of the dogma of no salvation outside the church. And so therefore it just shows that he doesn't believe you have to be in the church, because he's saying that he thinks Padre Pio, and therefore he agrees with what he believes Padre Pio said about this issue, that someone could be saved who is outside the church. So this is just more utter heresy.
Utter heresy. And what's interesting is that some of these apostate sedevacantists who love baptism of desire actually were persuaded by this this guy's pathetic arguments for salvation outside the church from Padre Pio's supposed statements. And this guy is agreeing that Padre Pio said this. So this supposed sedevacantist who accepts baptism of desire is endorsing this kind of apostasy, which is falsely attributed to Padre Pio.
So that pretty much wraps up this issue, and we'll be talking to you soon.